This week is an exciting week for me personally. It's graduation Sunday. It's a great time. I get the privilege of preaching, and also my Boston Celtics are going to the finals. It is a great week. I was lucky enough for Pastor Troy to give me an extra vacation day so I could go and watch them win game four. And I got to see them host up the Eastern Conference Finals trophy in Indianapolis. So that was a great time for me. Super happy about it. If you text me during the finals, I may not respond. I apologize. Very invested. Now, I don't bring this up to brag. It's slightly, though. I don't bring it up, but rather, as I'm very invested in the Celtics and basketball in general, sports in general have these sayings, these slogans that they want to get behind. And yeah, kids, you are dismissed if you want. You don't have to listen to me preach. I can be kind of boring. I understand that. But a lot of things happen. In sports, they have slogans, hashtags, things on social media to kind of get their fans to get behind. Things of this nature, the Green Bay Packers are Go Pack Go, or the Bengals are Who Day. The Patriots are very well known under Bill Belichick was Do Your Job. Well, every year the Celtics come out with one different every year, and this year their saying was Different Here. Kind of implying that they have a different team, a different atmosphere. And it got me thinking as I was watching these games, seeing all the promotional that they put out underneath it, and that would be a really good slogan for a church. A church is different than anywhere else in the world. As far as locations, we do things differently here. We commune with different people that you wouldn't normally commune with. Things are different here at the church. In the church in general, not just Baker City, but the capital C is a church, but hopefully, Baker, we are different here. Hopefully that this Nazarene church does things differently than any other church in Baker does. And hopefully we play to our strengths and things are different here. And so we see that, and I've seen that in two things as far as my ministry has been here. One, last summer, I was doing a small group, and as I was thinking, it's summer, how do I get kids to come to a small group at 10 a.m. in the morning? It's kind of early for them, I get that. I offered them free coffee, that's my solution. So I invited a bunch of kids to Coffee Corral weekly during last summer, and it was free coffee and study, and they loved showing up. I usually had about 5 to 6 kids weekly. They'd get their Red Bulls, their coffee, whatever they wanted on the menu, and then I'd send them off to their parents as they're all jittery. But they would study this, and there's a couple times where people would walk by, because we were there for about an hour, people would walk by and would say to me or the teens, whatnot, I love that you're doing this. I love that you're reading the word, you're discussing it, you're talking about it out in public. And that's something different than the church does. A second is I've had some comments from different teens that they enjoy the youth group, and I always ask why. I don't think I'm that good. I don't put on the best games or the best snacks or anything, so I always ask, why do you come to this youth group? What motivates you to come? And one of the comments I've gotten recently is it's not in a church building. We get to meet over in the Family Life Center, and I'm thankful for those who have built that center, that facility that we get to use each and every week. And it's such a weird dichotomy to me that we, just because we meet in a certain building, whether it be a church building or not, that kids want to come to our church, our youth group. And so that's something that is different here. That's something that Baker Naz gets to be a part of. We get to do things like Upwards. We get to do things like volleyball nights. We get to do things like fifth quarters, and we have the space for that. That's something that's different here. And as I was thinking, the best kind of church is the one without walls. If you don't know any history about the Nazarene Church, I don't expect you to, but one of the coolest things is the Nazarene Church was called the Big Tent. They didn't have walls. They had posts, they had buildings so that way it wouldn't rain on them, but they didn't have walls. Now we have walls for structure. I'm sure on winter days we'd be all very cold if we didn't have walls and heating, and I appreciate that. But a church is better without walls. And what I mean by that is you are living as a church not only in this section or the Family Life Center or on this property, but you're living it out in Baker. You're living it out daily. That just because you cross those doors doesn't mean Jesus doesn't come with you. A church is better without walls. Or you could say it's different here. If you know the song by Zach Williams, Big Tent, that's about the Nazarene Church, about having a space where we could go out freely and to live our life as Christians, and it's different here. So If we need the church and the church doesn't have walls, we need to live like it. One of the most frustrating things to me growing up was people who claimed to be Christian, who said that they were Christians and did not act like it. Because it makes people who act like Christians, people who fully believe it and live it out, it makes their job a lot harder. And so we need to make sure that we ourselves are not those people. If I tell someone that I am a Christian, I better act like it. My words better say that I'm a Christian. My thinking better say that I'm a Christian. And my actions better say I'm a Christian, because as a church, we're better without walls. We're better without walls because we get to be different. We get to take care of people that may not think that they are ever going to get taken care of. We get to love people that may think that they will never be loved. The world tells them that they are not good enough. The world tells them that they look funny. The world tells them that you do not have the skill set for this. The world tells you that you do not have any worth. We get to be different here. We get to say, no, you do have value. We do love you. We do care for you. And no matter what you look like, what you act like, we will love you and welcome you into these walls. And after that, we will leave these walls and continue to do that. There's been a lot of discussion about growth, whether that's butts in seats or spiritual, but I think we need to do both simultaneously. If I am not pursuing God, but I'm putting butts in seats, they're hollow butts and seats. If I'm filling myself up but never pouring out that water to anyone else, then it's worthless. We're going to show you a quick video. It's about a 4-minute video, and I'm going to preface this. This is a commercial, but I think I've been to a workshop, and they showed us this video, and I thought this was amazing. Part of the reason why I'm doing the workshop, the Gen Z workshop that I'm doing, is because the church is a place where multi-generationals meet, and it's one of the very few places in the world that they meet. They don't meet at bars or at clubs or at your workplace. You do not have all these generations. But at church, you can look around. You got people with gray hair, people with no hair. And I'm talking about babies, not old men. Don't worry about it. But we get to celebrate seniors, senior citizens, and seniors in high school. We get to have a VBS that incorporates all generations. And so they're going to play this video, and I want you to think about what generation you are a part of. Where do you fit into this video? And we'll talk about it after. So go ahead and play the video.
Good morning, Boomertown. It's a beautiful day to be 60 to 78 years young. Here's another gold moldy.
Your phone charge is on.
Your phone charge is on.
Have a house.
Lovely.
Your phone torch is on.
Careful, Seymour.
Watch out for the generation gap.
I wonder how they're going over there.
Ah, bloody Gen Zs.
Just remember, we're the ones that invented your precious World Wide Web.
Oh, Seymour!
Ugh, classic boomers, making the gap bigger.
They'd understand if they just listened to us.
Yeah, season one was better.
Hey, do you think all this screen time is adversely affecting our social skills?
Well, it could be worse. We could be in our early 30s.
Hey, millennials are still cool, right?
Calling!
So not slay.
Are we saying slay now?
Slay.
Slay. Slay.
I just feel like no one pays attention to Gen X.
We've got so much to...
I don't care what they do. Just not in my backyard. Hey! Hey, in my backyard! This is their fault!
Don't look at us. We're literally perfect.
Typical young people. Everyone gets a trophy.
We were kids! You bought us the trophy!
Stop gaslighting us!
That's not what that means! Cancel! Cancel!
Is that lamb?
Lamb. You know, when I was a kid, we'd have lamb egg.
Lamb barbecue? Lit.
Well, at least we can agree on something.
The generation gap, it's closing.
The lamb's getting closer.
I'm addicted to my phone as well.
Takeaway coffees could be hotter.
It's okay, you spent $368 billion on submarines.
Yeah, it was an impulse buy.
Being a young person in Australia must be difficult.
Being an
small person must be pretty tricky too. Probably.
I'm sorry.
It's a barbecue for the ages.
Who's that?
Oh, it's John Howard.
Oh, who's that?
Good to have the country back together.
We weren't ever that far apart, sweetheart.
But there's things that we can do together to bring the generation gap closer, or we can say things that pull us farther apart. The beginning of the video, they talk about blaming each other. Right? We could blame things in the church about one another instead of trying to actively solve it. Maybe you don't like a song. Maybe you don't like the way I preach because I'm younger. Maybe you don't like what Deidre's doing in the children's ministry or what I'm doing in the youth ministry or what Barb is doing in the young adult ministry or what Betty and Lenny are doing in the older ministry. Maybe you don't like what the women are doing, the men are doing. There's plenty of things that we could all complain about it, I'm sure, because the church is made of people and people aren't perfect. But instead, when they started to relate to each other, when they started to apologize, when they started to realize that they're not so different, that's when they came together. And the church is one of those few places that that can happen. All of you can't come to youth group. As much fun as dodgeball is, all of you aren't allowed at youth group. Those are for those in middle school and high school. Not all of us can go to men's meet and greet because we're not all guys. Many of us can't go to children's ministry. We can help out, but those are things that we can't do. But on a Sunday morning in different activities like VBS, last summer we did multiple barbecues, ironically, to bring us together. And so we need to be that grill in the middle that unites every generation. It shouldn't matter if you're 0 or 99. We are all here to worship God. We are all here to be the church together, and we need to be united in that. And so as I was studying for this and reading through it, a quote popped out to me that says, knowledge must translate into action and theology into life. And what that means is you can know that God is a savior, you can know all these things up here, but if it's not what you believe and it doesn't translate into action or translate into how you walk your life, then it's not going to do anything. If we're not actively saying things to each other, we may think that we're sorry, but if I don't go and apologize to someone, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help me, right? If I don't go out and say, you know what? Those stupid Gen Z guys, always on their phone, always on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, all those things, but then you go and scroll Facebook for 4 hours, what's the difference? Right? I think we can all say we're probably a little too addicted to our phones, no matter the age group we're in. Am I right? I think we can all acknowledge that. Right? If I pulled out all of your phones and looked at all your usage and all the apps and all the hours you spend on that, you're probably doing something on your phone. Maybe if you're John, you're on solitaire for 4 hours. Love you, John. But those things have to, those knowledge and theology have to go outside these walls. And so, I did not plan that this to be attached to Troy's sermon. It just, God works like that. And I've been praying about what Bible verses use. And I know Troy preached on Acts 2, 42 through 47 last week. I understand that. I'm going to go over it briefly because I think it's so important. We've been going through this We Are the Church series. And this fellowship of believers is what the church should be. Things like everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Today we may seem as diverse as ever, both in our political context, how we live our lives, the shirts we wear, the clothing we wear. Granted, Lenny points out my shoes every week, but I like shoes. It's just what I do. You may think they're too loud, they're too fancy, too many colors. That's fair. I appreciate the way you do it, but that doesn't mean I can't love you regardless. That means you can't love me regardless. They sold property and possessions to give anyone that had any needs. They're willing to sacrifice for one another in here, and we need to do the same. And so they broke bread in their homes and ate together and glad with sincere hearts. This is truly amazing because nowadays I feel like we don't really want to welcome each other into homes, especially my generation. I would rather go out to eat with you and have that time together, then invite you to my home because my house is a mess. There's dog hair on every piece of furniture, and it's very annoying to get off. And I'm sure many of you can relate that when you invite company over, whether it's family, friends, the house has to look like no one has ever lived there. Everything has to be vacuumed. Everything has to be cleaned. I remember as a kid, my parents would tell me to clean my room, and I'm like, why? No one's going to see it. We're not eating dinner in my room, so what's the point? Well, I can't just make a nice little pile. I can get to my bed. I can get to my dresser. My brother can get to his bed, to his dresser, and that's the only pathways we need. Now, if I was playing Nerf basketball, everything got cleaned really fast. It was crazy how that worked. But they lived together. And so that doesn't mean we have to live in each other's homes or invite each other, but that means going out to lunch after church together. That means spending time together throughout the week, whether it's you work with certain people in this building or maybe you're part of a small group. And if you think to yourself, I'm not a part of a small group, I'd highly, highly, highly encourage you to be part of one. And if there's not one that fits your needs and you're thinking, well, I don't fit in this group or I don't fit in that group and I can't meet the young adults, I'm not in that section or this or that, start your own, because I guarantee you, you're not the only one feeling like that. I guarantee you, you're not the only one that wants to start that small group. And so we need to live together and be glad about it. I may be different from you, you may be different from me, but God calls us to live like this, to be glad in sincere heart, that we need to support each other no matter what, because we all have one thing in common, and that's we call ourselves Christians. That if we are part of the Lamb of God, we need to support each other in our journeys. That's why I love Senior Sunday, because each one of them didn't say the same thing. They're not all going to go be history teachers. They're not all going to cosmetology school. They're not all taking a gap year. They're not all going to community college. They're each doing different things, and they're on their own journey. And that is the beauty of them, because they all have different skill sets, different talents, and they can worship and glorify God in their sectors. And just like everyone in here, we're all the same. We're not all up here together preaching. I'm not on a roof doing roofing. Right? You're not youth group throwing dodgeballs at kids, right? We all have different gifts, and we need to support each other in our gift. Another thing they said, we must love and welcome people before we can judge them. And this comes from Romans. This comes from Romans 14, 13 through 23. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind to not put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. And so just because you don't struggle with something, just because you have different talents, skill set, things come easy to you where they may go hard to others, that we need to stop passing judgment on one another, that we need to love them, we need to support each other in what they're doing. There's a lot of kids that come into youth group that love hunting. I'm sure many of you do. I have never hunted once in my life, so I cannot relate to them. I cannot show them pictures of the things that I've killed. I cannot show all the camo, all the guns that I have. But I love those kids, and I love when they tell me stories about them hunting. When a kid has their first kill, I love hearing about it. I love seeing pictures. I'd probably never go do that personally. That's not a love of mine. But I love them and support them on their journey doing that. I understand how important it is to them. But the same can go. I can go home and play video games for 8 hours, and you may have no idea what's going on. I'm sure if you're younger and you've ever tried to convince your parents to play a video game with you, that it usually takes more time explaining the video game than actually them playing. And I'm trying to connect with them, and they're really trying their hardest, but it does not always work. That's why the Wii's the best console. Everyone understands, do the thing, move your hand around, it's really easy, right? Am I right? I remember when I got a Wii, my grandfather came over and kicked all of our butts in bowling. It's the first time he's ever held a Wii in his life. But the man understood how to bowl and bowled like 200-something. Still, I'm pretty sure it's still the record on our home Wii. But we must love and welcome people before we judge them. I cannot say to my grandfather, oh, you've never played the Wii, you don't understand, this is mine and my brother's thing. But rather, we connected, we loved on each other, and same thing goes for older generations. A lot of kids don't understand a life without smartphones, and that's a big thing I hear. But that's not their fault necessarily. iPhones were invented in 2007, and some of them weren't born until later than that. So that's all that they've known. It's not something that they got to choose. Oh, I'm going to be born after the smartphone, so that way I can watch YouTube all night and not get any sleep and be a terror to my parents when they want me to go to school. But we have to love and care for them and try to understand each other, because, again, church is better without walls. Church is better when we have multi-generation people speaking into each other's lives. There's experiences that all of you have done and gone through that I never will, and there's experiences I've gone through that you guys never will. But we can learn from each other. We can love one another no matter what. Further in Romans, that in verse 22, Paul says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. Blessed are the ones who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because if their eating is not of their faith. And so he's talking about the culture there. He's talking about what they eat and not. So we can't be harsh on ourselves too. We have to hold each other accountable, of course, but you can only have the wisdom and the ability to speak into someone's life and hold them accountable if you love them first. I'm sure I could try to convince you that what you're doing is wrong in any particular situation, but you may not listen to me. But if your best friend or your spouse said the same exact words that I said, you might be more than willing to listen to them, right? Because they have a better relationship. They understand you better. They've been loving you. They've cared for you. They've seen you cry. They've seen you celebrate. And the church needs to be the same. And finally, in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, verse 7, Jesus talks about the wise and foolish builder. Many of you have heard this story, but we need to invest ourselves and build our house on the rock. And a lot of this, when this scripture is looked at, we think of ourselves, right? There's two builders. We either put ourselves in the one who builds on the rock, that we carve into the rock, that we read scripture, we pray about it, we come to church, that we've done our duties, we've checked off our checklist, I'm on the rock. And if you don't do that, well, you're probably building on sand and have fun when the storms come. But rather, I want us to look at this scripture in a new light, that if we're the church and we're the people and it's not a building per se, that we get to build the rock together, that I get to help you build your rock and you get to help build mine. And so different things can come a part of that. Here we have two houses, and there's different things that we can help each other. If you're upset, you're crying, I can help support you and show you God's love. If you have surgery, we love doing meal trains and supporting each other, so I can bring you a meal. Maybe you're going through a loss and grief, and you just need someone to help you through it, a shoulder to cry on. I can do that. Maybe you feel like no one loves you, and so I take you out to coffee or lunch. I can support you in that. I can be the Bible that you may never read, your coworkers that will never come into this building. I can live out and be that Bible. Maybe there's different things, like instead of judging one another for being on TikTok for 4 hours, I can try to understand you and why do you do the things that you do. Maybe you go to do sports or do choir, and instead of just asking you about it, I can show up to the performance or show up to the game. There's plenty of things that we can do to help support the rock of one another. Just because your house is built on the rock does not mean everyone in here, their house is built on the rock. And sometimes we get built on sand. And if we, the church, are built on a rock together, then the whole church is built on a rock. But what's good of a building if half of it is built on a rock and half of it is built on sand? And so here I have two bowls. I'm going to invite a few teens to come up. Come on up. Don't worry. I'm going to give them some Nerf guns. And what they're going to represent is the trouble that may come in life. The things that hurt, the people you lose, the pain that you may suffer. And so they are going to be the trouble, and they're going to shoot our pretty houses, one built on the rock. Go ahead and start shooting away. Pull the trigger. And so as you can keep shooting, go ahead and empty the clip. If you're in the splash zone, watch out. But there's many things that can disrupt us. Many things that keep us. Watch out. But as you can see, you guys all out? Nope. But as you can see, one house stood because they were built on the rock. Thank you, guys. Yeah, go ahead and give them a round of applause. But as you can see, one of these houses get built on a rock. And just because you and I are part of it, but if both houses represented the church and some of us are built on rocks and some of us are built on sand, half our church is gone now. And obviously, if half our church is gone, it's not a good thing. And so we need to help one another build on that rock. We need to come together and be wise. During our board meeting, we were talking about what do we have at the church, and we have a lot of wisdom. And as a young person myself, I don't always make the smartest decisions. And I'm sure many of you see that in your kids, your grandkids. Give them some wisdom. You got wisdom. That's a way you can relate to them. And I'm not saying we have to talk down to these people, but rather relate to them and be vulnerable with them. Say, you know what? When I was your age, I did something wrong. I messed up. I did this and this, and I made stupid mistakes too. I am not perfect, as much as I may seem that. And so instead of just helping each other with rock, that doesn't just happen from 9:45 to 11. That doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning. Maybe you come to Sunday school, so it starts at 8:30. But those things don't just happen. We don't just help build rocks for people, for houses, for ours, for this entire church, just on a Sunday morning. It happens throughout the week. So again, I'm going to encourage you to be part of a small group, to be part of people's lives Sunday through Saturday, to show up on game days, to show up in choir practices, to show up at coffee time. And you don't have to invite people in your house if you don't want to. Take them out to lunch. Take them out to coffee. Find ways to connect with people. It may be seem silly to you, but one of my biggest things is when I get a day off, I game. Yesterday, I probably spent close to 8 hours sitting in front of my Xbox with my dog in my lap talking to friends. These are friends that I don't get to see. They live across the country. They live in different time zones, but I get to talk to them. For 8 hours, I get to hear about their being newly married. I get to hear about their new jobs. I get to hear about these things and learn about them. If you ask me about any of my friends, I could tell you a whole lot, and I haven't seen some of them in 2 years, but I talk to them each and every day while we play silly games. And so the church is best not only when it doesn't have walls, but the church has legs, because you and I are the church, and we have legs. Get moving. So we don't need to just sit our butts in these pews. We don't just need to sit our butts over by coffee, even though the donuts are free and the coffee's nice. We need to get moving. We're a church without walls, so we need to move. You have legs, I have legs. And at worst, if Pastor Barb said something during young adults group that stuck with me, that even if, as long as you are conscious, if you cannot move, if you could do nothing, you can pray. If you are conscious, you can pray. And so that's a way of getting moving. For the rest of us, guess what? Maybe you have a little disposable income and you could spend it on something fancy, or you could take someone out to lunch instead. You could take them out to coffee. You could start a small group and be willing to pay for the books of those who can't afford it. You can go around and ask people to be part of your small group. Pastor Troy and I talk about all the time where if someone were to come into the office during the week and say, I want to start a small group for this or that, Pastor Troy is going to tell you, go for it. We're going to support you, try to find a space for you, whether it's your house or this church or a classroom over in the FLC, but we will gladly support you and let you go. If you have questions about programming, different books to read, things to study, we will enable that. So the church has legs. Get moving. A lot of us like to sit down, and a big thing I hear from each age spectrum is, one, I'm too young, I can't be a leader. On the other end is, I've served for 30 to 40 years, I've put in my time, I'm done, I'm ready to coast to the end. Both are wrong. You are never too young to start leading. We have to remember that we like to start Jesus' ministry in his 30s. So that's you, Gen X, don't worry, we didn't forget about you. Or I guess millennials, we didn't forget about you either. But the point is, no matter how young you are, you can start leading. At the Church of Nazarene, you can start voting at 15 to be a member, but you can be a member at 12. You can be part of the system. You can be going to things and vote at 15. I was part, in my church growing up, I was a member as soon as I possibly could be. I was NYI president on the church board as a teenager. And so you can lead, you can speak into people's lives no matter how young you are, whether you're in kids, whether you're a senior graduating, or whether you're somewhere in between. You can lead and people will follow you. Because again, we are the church, we are multi-generational, and we will love them and follow them no matter their age. And on the other end of the spectrum, you've served for 30, 40 years, maybe you've always done something, but maybe that means now it's time to change gears. Maybe you can't do what you always did, you can't go running around chasing people, but you can cook and you like to cook. And so you can use that. That's somewhere you don't have to go to your home. That's somewhere maybe you can go take them out to coffee. Maybe you can have conversations as people drive you. There's ways to minister to people. Sometimes we just have to change the way we look at things. And so again, church has legs. Get moving. I want to challenge all of us as a church to start getting on this path that we are the church. These pews are not the church. This carpet's not the church. These buildings are not the church. If these buildings were wiped out and all we had was an empty parking lot, I truly hope and pray we would still have church. Because we don't need the building. We just need a place where we can gather. And so if all we had was the church parking lot, I would hope that we would sit on the parking lot, maybe bring a chair because you can't get down and back up again. But I hope that we would still meet, pray, that we would preach, and that we would gather together, no matter the circumstances. If churches in China can still find a way to meet, there's no excuse here in America. And that's not just on a Sunday morning. And it doesn't just take me or Pastor Troy or Pastor Barbara or Pastor Lenny to put this in motion. It doesn't just take the board, it takes all of us. Because I can't do everything for everyone. Troy can't do everything for everyone. And none of you guys can do everything for everyone. But typically, we all sit in the same section, right? Who's sat in the same seat for multiple years? I'll be the first to admit that. So it means you probably sit next to or near the same exact people. And so maybe you legitimately have a small group out of where you sit in the pew. You could call yourself the right pew small group. And maybe you invite all those people in your pews, right? It can be a small group of proximity. Or maybe you all live on the same street, and so you call it whatever street small group. But that's creating relationships and meeting together as a church. And it doesn't just take one of us to put tape on a bowl. It takes multiple of us. Because if I'm so tired after taping one bowl, who's going to tape the other bowl down? Hopefully, someone else is going to come step up. And so if you haven't been listening to me at all, I hope you listen to these three points. So I'll make it nice and simple. Live together seeking the glory of God. We can't forget that no matter what we do. Doesn't matter how many coffees you buy, how many meals you buy, that we read in Acts, we read in Matthew that we need one another, that we need to be the church. We are the church, and we're a church in action, so that we need to be part of each other's lives no matter what, because God calls us to. Second, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are all things that when we pursue God, that we get. When we're seeking God together, we get these things. And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't have one of those things, I don't have any of those things. Well, guess what? We got a church full of those people. Let's give it to one another, right? Let's meet in small groups and talk about our grief. Let's meet in small groups and talk about our addiction. Let's meet and talk about everything under the sun because God has said everything that needs to be said on those subjects. One of the things I love about my generation is stereotypically, there's no such thing as a taboo topic. I've told Pastor Troy this, that he could come up on this stage or this platform and preach about literally any topic in the world, and a lot of the younger generation would be okay with that, and they want to have those topics. And so we need to be okay with talking about those things because God is glorious and God is amazing and holy, and so He can speak into any problem, anything we have, whether it's loss or teenagers shooting us with Nerf darts. And so we can have righteousness, peace, and joy because God gives it to us. And so when we're seeking God, we get those things, and we get to share it with one another in small groups. No building of people will have any of those. So we need God in those things. And finally, build the people of the church on the rock of Jesus Christ. Help them chisel into the rock. Help them put up the wood to build somewhere that they can live. Educate and discuss the Lord outside of these walls. Again, church is best without walls, and the church has legs, so we better get moving. There's plenty of people in Baker that don't know God. I'm sure there's coworkers you're thinking of, maybe family members, maybe friends, maybe the people that serve you at restaurants. There's plenty of people that don't know God. And we'll never step into this church building. We'll never open a Bible. But be the Bible that they will read. Show them the love of Christ. Show them that we are different here. Not only are we different as a church from culture, but we are different here at Baker Naz. Because we are a holiness church. We are a Wesleyan Holiness Church. And if you don't know what that is, go see Troy on the 23rd or come ask questions, because we want us, all of us, on the same page. I see new faces in my almost 2 years here, and I love that. I truly pray, and this is a weird prayer, but I truly pray that I don't know everyone's name in a church, that there's always at least one new person there that I don't know their name, that there's always one new kid at youth group that I truly don't know their name and don't know anything about. Because one of my favorite things about building relationships is learning those weird things about people that they just come up in conversation. You're like, I would have never guessed that about you. That is my favorite thing. So I pray that we build the people of the church on the rock of Christ. Because when we do that, we can go out these walls and we can be a church in action, that we can be different here. Heavenly Father, I pray to you today that we are a church in action, that we are different here, Lord, that you have called us, that your apostles have called us in Acts, how you have called us in the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, that we will be different here, that we'll be a church without walls, that we will show your peace, your joy, your righteousness, your glory to everyone we come into interaction with, and that we unite our church together, Lord, so when people come into these walls for the first time, they truly see you. They don't see any of the pastors, the board members, the laid people, Lord, that they see Jesus Christ when they walk into these buildings, through the worship, through the sermons, through every bit of this church, that our DNA would be purely you, Lord, and that we'd be built on the rock. And when we see someone building on sand, we say, nuh-uh, come over here, Lord. Come over here and build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. It is so much better than what the world has to offer. And in your name we pray, amen. Go and be the church without walls.